Well, I want to address this morning something that we again know very, very well in this assembly and been taught for years. But I'm finding myself, as I wait on God, that He's bringing us back to some of the basics, to learn, to go over and over the word, to gurgitate this word, to chew over the cud. Because faith comes by hearing, reading, taking in that word. And also we were encouraged and God began to show us that we're to start praying for the word, not only for the word, but for the word to have free course. But start praying for the body, for each other, that the word will go into our hearts. That God will prepare our hearts to receive this word. Because God wants to see much more faith, active faith, from this assembly. God is still not satisfied with what He has graciously given to us over the years. We've got to really see that the word has to go into the heart. And we can at times be very complacent. We can just say, oh well, we pray for the word, you know, and the word go forth. But we have to pray for our hearts. We have to pray one for another that we receive that word. That that word will be a light, a direction, a guidance, a leading. That it is our food, it is our sustenance. You know, it's one thing to get excited and say, yes, I come to Full Gospel Assembly because the word is preached and we can only boast in God's mercy and grace that we believe that pure word is preached. But we also have also a responsibility that as we come to this church week after week, that we are asking God that that word will change in my life, that word will go into my heart, that it will change me. So that is important. And that side of it means you have to humble yourself. That side of it means you have to acknowledge. You have to be honest that there is still not the word. I know it intellectually, theologically, but it's still not living yet in my life. The reality of it has not become real. Because this word is real. Why is it real? Because Christ was the living word and He became flesh. So we're not just dealing with the word, we are dealing with the word, but we're also dealing with the personality behind the word. And who is the personality behind the word? It is Jesus. And He has come. He lives today. He's alive forevermore. So we're dealing also with a living relationship with God. And as we grasp that living relationship, so we're also grasping that the word and the promises and what He says and is saying today is a real and is alive. Amen? Amen. Are you believing in the delays? That's what we're going to raise this morning. Are you still believing in the delays? And every one of us here in this assembly and those who listen to the word have and are still waiting for manifestation. And if you're not, then you have to really seek God. It's not because you all have to be like clones, but the delays in manifestation are for a reason, for a purpose, you see. It is a reason why we have these delays. And so we turn to Mark 11:24. Mark 11 and verse 24. And we know this so, so well, don't we? Which says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, we can read that theologically. We can read that as a principle. We can read it as a law. We can read it in many ways. But I want you to start to experience that from a living Father, Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has spoken that to us, to you. That is His heart. That is His will. That is His plan. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believeth you receive them, and you will have them. Now, before we take that a step further, you very often have to really look at the word. Now, in the context of what Jesus is saying to us here in 24, he is assuming that you have a prayer life. He is assuming that you pray not only on your own, in your closet, but that we are a church that prays. Why do I say that? Because he says, whatever things you ask when you pray. So this is in the context of praying. This isn't just in the context of saying, you know, we're talking about the Lord, whatever. Oh, well, let's just ask him, shall we? Come on, Lord, you know, we want now whatever. That's not what he's saying here. Oh, there can be a place. I'm not saying there's not. But what we're talking about here is very important. See, Jesus wants us to know what he's saying. Because we have to obey the principle of verses, the revelation of it, what he's saying. And you know, that can so often be looked over. Oh, well, I've asked the Lord, you know, but nothing's manifested. But how did you ask the Lord? Because that tells us how we ask him. We ask him in prayer. Now, is it prayer being in your closet on your own? Is this something that you have to ask, which is between you and God? It doesn't say that. It simply says when you pray. So you could pray this principle of prayer with another Christian. Two of you agreeing. Or this could be applied today, like we have prayed as a church. We come boldly into his presence. We can pray. Or it does mean, yes, you pray in your closet. The point is, Jesus says, it's connected with prayer in that asking. Now, I know we've looked at this before, but it is very worth thinking about. So he says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. So there is the key. It is believing in the basis of asking. And that asking comes in prayer. So in prayer, you are believing, or whether 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or 20, you are all believing. That is the key to it. Then he says, in that believing, you receive. So in the believing, you receive, which then takes us to something again that we know very well. And I just want to bring these out as we're dealing with this before we open this up a lot further. So this believing is connected with Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So your faith is actual, it is the substance. Your faith is real, your faith believes. Your faith is that lump of old clay that you give to God, in which God molds, works on it, perfects it into that which you have asked. So for example, if you have need of finances, that faith then you give to God, which is simply a mustard seed of faith, and we're earthen vessels, you give that clay over to him. And you say, Lord, here is this clay, here is my faith, use it. And God says, I will, I receive it, I accept it. Because you have met the conditions. And that applies for anything. Salvation for loved ones, healing, whatever needs you have. God says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. So whatever needs are there, you offer to him that clay, that seed of faith. So there it is, the substance of things hoped for. Well, you hope for them, don't you? And God wants you to hope. Your heart and life of this church should be filled with hope. The hope in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. This message and all the promises that are there. A hopeful people. Why does God want us to be a people hopeful? Because that's our vision. That's our pressing in. That's eternity. That's everything that we're beginning to see, even in this life. Why, even psychologists, even parents want to bring their children up to hope for the best, to believe for the best, to press in. They want them to work for their exams, their education, for the future, for life. Why, the world even sees that, yet the church doesn't. The church so often lives in the negative, in the unbelief. No vision, nothing really to aim for, to hope for. You constantly, week after week, are given promises. You are encouraged to believe. A myriad of promises. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't see it all yet. We don't see eternity yet. We don't see heaven yet. But we know we're on our way. We know we're of another kingdom. You say to me, how do you know? Because you don't get on in this life. You find it doesn't fulfill you. And God says, I'll bless you. I'll start to give you the blessings of eternity, the blessings of the kingdom. How do we know? Because the Lord's Prayer tells us so. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will in this place is what God's will is in heaven. And we've gone through all of that. So we can hold on to these promises that are there. And the Holy Spirit will not let us compromise on it. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how we feel, whether it goes from bad to worse, I thank God, and He's answered the prayers of saints and my prayers over the years. Whatever we go through, whatever the circumstances, whatever the report, never let us compromise on what you have promised us. And God isn't letting us do that. And some stay with that, and some become offended by that, some give up on that, whatever. But God's still got a remnant who are holding on because God has promised. Why hasn't manifestation taken place? There's a huge amount of answers to that. But why not just believe that it's going to? It's on its way. That is the point. All the while you are asking why it's not manifested, that is the reason. And God's trying to get us away from the whys. Why hasn't this happened yet? Why? I prayed 10 years ago for this and so forth. Here we are, no nearer. There's the problem. There's the problem. Yet God is merciful because He knows that He's working with us. Long-suffering, patience, fruit of the Spirit. It's not always necessarily that you're not just believing. The point is, I just feel, Lord, when? You know, when's this going to come? We can be like that. We know something's on the way. We don't doubt for one moment it's not on the way. We just get impatient. I want it now, Lord. So, you see, it's not all lost. You're still believing, but God's delaying it because He's got to work patience, long-suffering in you. So it's not always necessarily that you're not believing. And Satan likes to use that one. See, you're not in faith. It may not be a question not in faith. What is actually the problem is, you're impatient. And that's what God's dealing with. Oh, I thought I wasn't in faith. I thought I'd missed it. See how subtle the enemy is? That is why we have to be perfected in the fruit of the Spirit. Because Satan uses that in which to twist, hath God said. You see? So don't always throw away your faith. Just get back to the basics, get back to it. Are you on believing ground? Are you believing? Yes, I am believing. I do believe. I've done that sometimes when I've come back and got focused again. I thought, yes, I am believing. I know I am. So what was the problem? You're impatient. You just wanted it now. And you thought God was late. So it wasn't a question you weren't believing, it was something else that was manifesting. So you must be sensitive. And again, I can only say that that sort of thing, an understanding of what God's doing in your life, can only come out of you having a walk with God and a prayer life. You can't get those things otherwise. You can't get them. God has to communicate these things to you. to tell you where you are and what's going on. And he will, because he's promised to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to us. And so we can hold to these promises, and we know we can, because all the promises of God are yes and amen. So that settles it. So you don't listen to those, yes, but you have to know that that's God's will, that's God's word to you. Well, that tells us that all those promises are yes and amen. They are for today, they are for the now, they are the ever-present now to us. No beginning, no end, you see. So the Bible encourages us to ask. But the point is that we ask in faith. And with that faith, something else has to grow with it. And this is where patience comes in. This is where we don't always get it straight away. So we meet to James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. This is where you have to also ask with faith. And that is why, in the early days, when we all jumped on the bandwagon, we all started to ask, asking in faith, asking for this, Mark 11:24, we weren't always asking in meeting the conditions that James says. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, man unstable in all his ways. That's profound, that is. But it says here, if you're asking, then you have to ask in wisdom. Now, what is this wisdom? Well, the first thing to wisdom is the fear of God, we're told. That is the root to wisdom. So you're coming before Almighty God. You have to approach him in the right way. You're dealing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't just come any old how before God's presence. There has to be a wisdom of whom you're coming before to make your requests known to God. And you can't be familiar, flippant, take him for granted. No, no. You have to learn about the majesty of God, the dominion of God, the power of God, the omnipotence of God, all the sovereignty of God. Yes, that is the one you are asking of. So you have to begin to learn this. And one does not get this overnight. That is why God will meet us at the level of where we are, but you just have to face back that some of those things that you once did ask for, God has not heard because wisdom was not applied. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. So God wants you and I to have wisdom, and it says he actually gives it generously. Now, how does he give this to us? It's a revelation. It's an unveiling. It comes through teaching. It comes by staying with the Word of God, learning about God and his ways. And he gives it without reproach, and it will be given to him. So all those that come believing, whatever color, whatever creed, whatever background, whatever you come out of, God says, I will give it to you. I will teach you this wisdom. And with that wisdom, that knowledge, and that understanding. Why this? Because it's about faith. It's about believing. It's about asking from God. But with all of that, if you've done that, and God's giving you teaching, revelation of his wisdom, of himself, he then says, but let that person ask in faith. With no doubting whatsoever. No doubting. Because it says if there is doubting, then you're like a wave. You're up and down and driven with all those winds. What does that mean? Well, it means that you're driven by the elements. So what Satan, when he comes in, buffets, try to do, You fall victim to it. You listen to him instead of listening to God. And what is manifesting? What is that revealing? What is that showing? It is showing unbelief. Why is there unbelief? That unbelief is because you still haven't yet applied wisdom. Ah, but I know the word. It's not what God is saying. Many know the word. You've got many that aren't saved who know the word, but they don't know the author of that word. There's the wisdom. There's the knowledge. There's the understanding. God wants you and me to come to a place in a relationship with God where you know when you ask him, he's going to answer. You know that he is not going to let you down. That is what relationship is about. Jesus came to that place. He said, I don't do only that which the Father reveals. And he often asked the Father. You see it there in the Gospels, particularly John's Gospel. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. That's what he said over Lazarus. I know you've heard me. Now, are you coming to that realization, that wisdom, that understanding, that knowledge that when you ask of God, I know he has heard me? Because it's in that knowing there's no doubting. That's the key to it. You know we have asked God, but we're not really sure still. And if you're not really sure, then don't ask him. Because you are not coming in the right way before him. That is the problem, you see. And this is why it takes the Holy Spirit to teach and work this experience, this maturity within us. We are useless without the Holy Spirit. God really wants you to know that he is your comforter. He's drawn alongside to you. You cannot do anything without him. Turn me again to John 14, 15 and 18. John 14, 15 and 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Did you know something? When you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you started to speak in tongues, do you know that Jesus prayed to the Father that you would receive that? Did you know that? Isn't that wonderful? That really makes it so special, doesn't it? That when you received, you started to speak, you came to Christ, because he says here, and this I will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's about asking. But Jesus has already asked on your behalf. That's how you receive. You don't receive otherwise. And he's going to ask because it's about his glory. It's about the Son being glorified. That is why we need the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God tells us it's about the Son being glorified. And so that is why your testimony in asking, like in Mark 11, 24, is where God gets all the glory. Because you're asking, glorified the Son. As he asked of the Father. On your behalf. So that's the question we're raising and answering. Are you believing in the delays? You see, true faith is going to stay with it. And it's going to believe. You see, those delays, as I so often say, are to strengthen that faith. Your faith is weak. And the best way to strengthen that faith is to bring delays in your life and delays in this assembly as we corporately pray. So God is deliberately allowing those delays for a very specific person, for reason. And that is why, again, you need to have that wisdom. Because if wisdom is there, wisdom is saying, God is delaying this in my life for a very good reason. Because there's a deeper work that is taking place. There are things to be done and will be done. That is what wisdom says. That is what wisdom is learning, grasping, understanding. It's not because God's got it against you. It's not because he dislikes you or you're necessarily not in faith. It's because there is a larger overall work God is doing. And the moment you can't see it. But you will. So those delays are to strengthen your faith. Those delays are for you to seek God, to hold on to God, to go deeper. So very often those delays are connected with relationship. That you go deeper and deeper with God. And if your relationship means that God's going to make you desperate, then he's going to do it. To go deeper with him. God's using any means, any way, to get a deeper relationship that you can have with him. And if it means delays, then he's going to use it. Is he not? He is. Matthew 7, 7 to 9. Matthew 7, 7 to 9. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. So there we are. And it goes on. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? So that's why we believe in those promises. Because God is going to promise what he gives. But here it is. Why this knocking? Why this seeking? Ask, it will be given to you. That's what he said. So ask, it'll be given to you. But seek, in that asking, you will find. So what does he mean by seek? Does he mean to seek out the hindrances? Why it's not happened? Why God hasn't heard me? No, it means to seek him. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. So your asking causes you to seek. And he says you won't find it if you do seek. No, he says, seek and you will find. What will you find? All the riches that are to be found in Christ Jesus. Ongoing. So he says sometimes it's not only seeking in the finding, but he says sometimes I'm going to require of you to knock. Very good, was it? That's better. Knock. What is knocking about? Find out if that person's in. Sometimes you go to someone and you knock on the door, sound the doorbell, and nobody answers, but you know full well they're in there. You just know. Or you saw them peeking behind the curtain. Well, they don't want to answer the door. Now, I don't know about you, but when I find somebody like that, I find I don't want to give up on that sort of thing. You can go away and say, well, they don't want to obviously talk to me. You know, what have I done to defend them? Why are they acting like this? You could be like that. You could go away and say, well, it's your problem. Or you could say, no, I know somebody's in there. I'm going to go back and knock again. And again. And again. And in the end, they won't be able to pretend anymore. Now, I'm not saying that that's how God does it. That's not what I'm saying. God heard. But sometimes it's in that knocking. It says it will be open to you. So what is God doing with you in that knocking? Well, there's several things he's doing with you that he sees is needful. He sees, firstly, that you give up a little bit too easy. and he wants you to persist. He sees that you've asked him in prayer, but there's not really that pressing in. Or he sees that you've not, and nobody's answered. I don't think I can go back again. It wouldn't look right if I knock, you know. You know, you can't do that twice, certainly not three times. I mean, that's disrespectful. It doesn't look good. So you don't go back. So God says, no, I want you back. Or thirdly, you've not, and you're offended, and walked away and said, well, that's their problem. I'm not going to knock anymore. Who do they think I am? And that's probably the most common one. And I know it's happened with me. And what is that? Pride. Pride. Stubbornness. I'm not knocking again. No way. So God says, I've got to deal with that. I've got to break that. So I'm going to keep you knocking for a season. Sounds familiar? Of course it does. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. So again, he's gone over it again to show you that he will do it. He will do it. This is where, in this asking again, wisdom comes in. I'm bringing out to you now principles. This is wisdom. James, what he speaks about. Now, if you can begin to see this, or if you're saying, well, yes, it sounds familiar. I did ask of the Lord, and I have knocked a few times, but, you know, I haven't just knocked lately, and, you know, don't know what. Well, maybe this is pride. There's the wisdom. There's the understanding. There's the problem. That's what still causes you to waver every time those winds come in. I now see it. It's because there's pride. I'm offended. I don't like knocking. Who does he think I am to keep knocking? That's what he wants. That's what you've got to do. If that's your deliverance, then just do it. Because you're going to receive in the end. Because he's promised. Amen. It's quite simple, isn't it? Quite simple. When we break it down to very elementary terms, we find these profound principles that we see in the Word of God can be so very simple. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit's ministering. He can bring it down to such simplistic terms. So true faith is going to stay with it. It's not going to compromise in any way. Proverbs has something to say on this. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 17 to 18. Proverbs 8, 17 to 18. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. So what does God say? It comes with those who diligently seek God. He says, I come with riches. That's why you're not in poverty. That is why we don't preach, you know, poverty is the way into the kingdom of God. That's religious bondage. It's religious claptrap. No, God says, if you diligently seek me, I come in that diligence with riches, blessings for you. I'm going to reward that. That is the nature of our Father's heart, is to reward you. To bless you and to bless others, because it's coming out of seeking God, staying with it, being diligent, because at times it can look very negative. At times it can look as though God's pushing you away. It's your fault. And he's only doing it for a reason, to see if you're going to stay with it and keep knocking, keep holding on, because that is what faith will do, you see. And going back to Mark 11:24, I know, again, we know this very well, but I do have to bring this up in passing, because it is another principle. And I said to you that the conditions of Mark 11:24 is in the basis of prayer, praying when you believe, but also we have to look at the other verses that it speaks of. In verse 25, and it goes on, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So he goes on, and so in this praying, in believing, asking, you make sure that you don't have anything against anyone in your heart. Because your Father in heaven also has forgiven you of all your sins. And if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. And therefore, you are not going to receive. Period. Period. Now, I believe the only way you know you stand guiltless before God in those two verses is again when you have a relationship and a prayer life with him. Now, if you don't see it, that's a different thing. But if you are aware that you are not right with someone or your brother or your sister, that your thoughts are negative towards that person, you will not receive the blessing of Mark 11:24. Don't even attempt to pray, because there's wisdom again applying. You can't receive it. It's totally contrary to your Heavenly Father who gives blessings, riches. That is totally contrary to his nature and how God gives. You see? I know we've mentioned this many, many times, but we do have to bring this one up in passing because it's very important. He says in verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So you can't ask if there is unbelief, there is unforgiveness in your heart. And you have to deal with unforgiveness. You have to deal with hate. You have to deal with resentment, and sometimes it's a staying before God for a season until you walk it through, till you work it through, till the Holy Spirit does that working, that deliverance. It's a season sometimes. It's just a waiting on God as he touches you to change you, to put his love within your heart over that situation or that person, which you can't do in the natural, you see. So this is all connected with how we treat one another, how we treat our husband, how we treat our wife, our children, our families, our neighbours, our friends. All of this is absolutely imperative. How we treat, how we come over, that is the question. And that is why the humble before God will hold on and believe, and will also see it through to the end. See, the humble will hold on where hindrances that are causing those delays, the manifestations, will be dealt with. And that again is why God has brought up this familiar subject that we have taught many times. Why is the Holy Spirit bringing this up? I don't apologize anymore now. I used to get in a little bit in bondage. I'm thinking, Lord, I have preached this so many times. Why am I again being led to bring this up? I'm not going to do that anymore, because God never makes a mistake. And I have, and bless your heart, some of you come up to simply confirm that to me. That word was for today. That was just what I needed. That was what God spoke to me this week and everything. I thought, Lord, you never get it wrong. Even though we preached it probably 100 times, it still was the right message for today. We had to hear it. Why did we have to hear it? Because maybe some of you are wondering why manifestation hasn't taken place now. I don't know how much longer I can hold on. Or I'm seeking God because there is something hindering. Yes, I do believe, but in that believing, something has gone wrong, is not right. Well, again, God is highlighting, he's bringing out where maybe you've got some question marks in your head. Why? Because God wants to visit you with all his riches, with all his glory. That is his nature to you. God knows what blessing you does. God knows what manifestations in your life does for you, for his name. Don't you think he doesn't share? Don't you think he doesn't feel that joy when suddenly it's manifested? You rejoice. Yes! Hallelujah! You know, you're through. Doesn't he share in that? Doesn't he feel that? Doesn't that come from him? Of course it does. How much more? But the other side of it, the flip side, is that we have to remove those hindrances. And Mark 11:24 and those verses tell us more about receiving than a lot of other verses. It's all there. That's why it's so profound. Ask, and I will give. We've asked this morning. We've asked for salvation. We've asked for healing. We've asked for blessing. Ask, he says. Don't doubt. That's why it's powerful when we as a church ask. Because we're asking as a church. But we all have to believe. There's got to be no hindrances in our heart. No hate or animosity or jealousy and all those things the enemy tries to put on us. They all have to go. It's a powerhouse in that asking. Because the idea of this asking, the revelation of this asking, has not come from us. It has come from the Father, revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. You see, as I bring this to a close, Satan wants you to believe in vain, in doubt. Every area of unbelief has a negative element to it, has a negative repercussion. Every area of unbelief saps the life of Christ out of you. Unbelief is like a spiritual leech, drawing life out of you. And that is why we have to maintain and hold on to the law of life that is found in Christ Jesus that Galatians speaks of. Because unbelief wants to draw you down into the law of death. It's going to war against you. It's going to work subtly. It's going to work that negative. So if there's any areas of negative, or you hear it coming out in your confession, that is still unbelief God's having to deal with. You still don't yet believe. And that's why he works with us. And praise God, because God wants to visit us with all his riches. He, in his mercy, meets us at the level and at the light that we have. If God didn't do that, none of us would have any hope. None whatsoever. But you see, although God visits us at the light and the level that we have and where we are, God says to you, I'm not happy with that. I've got to unveil to you that there's hindrances with you. I've hid it up to now, but I'm not going to hide it any longer. That's called growing up. It's highlighting the weaknesses. It's highlighting the immaturity. And so as he begins to highlight it, he's doing it for a very specific reason, because he says, not only are you growing up, but he says, I've got to get more out of you. I want more out of you all the time. Why does God want more out of us? It's very simple, because it's Christ who's in you. So what he's really saying in very simplistic terms, because I'm in you, I am the infinite, there is no beginning, there is no end. I want to see more of that, and I can get more of that, myself, my image, out of you. That's why it's an ongoing thing. You never, ever come to an end. You no sooner learn one thing, or overcome one thing, manifestation in one thing, then there's the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. Because you're dealing with eternity. You're dealing with God. You're dealing with God who is in you. No beginning, no end. He knows what he can. He knows how to glorify his name. through you. You're simply that vessel, open, yielding over to the work of the Spirit. And believing, faith, praying for the sick, casting out those demons, everything is simply you yielding over to the Spirit's work. Jesus did. But there were some times when Jesus couldn't heal. And there was no point yielding over to this work of the Spirit, because the Spirit spoke to him and said, there's unbelief here, and there'd be no healing. So Jesus couldn't start going against that and say, well, I'm not going to take that. I'm still going to go and pray for them. No. I bring that up because that's how God can work. It's yielding over. I can only do what is revealed. I can only speak what is revealed. I can only pray for those what is revealed. So we pray today, haven't we? We brought people before God. We could only do that because the Spirit said, do it. Can you see that? It comes simply by yielding. It doesn't come by your desiring it. Your, well, it's interesting, or yes, that sounds a good idea, whatever. God isn't interested in any of that. That's why the intellectual mind cannot receive the ways of God. The intellectual religious mind comes up with good ideas. You say to me, how do you know? Because I've been to all those meetings when I was in the Anglican Church. We used to go to these seminars, these meetings, and all you would ever hear, that sounds a good idea. Shall we vote on it? And so that good idea was sanctioned, and so it was brought forth. Good idea. It's come out of man's evil heart in imagination. That's not how a saint walks. Faith comes out of a heart that's born again. And that faith that's quickened to you, I'll bring you back to the basics, is God's faith who already put it there in the first place. Amen? You can only say it's my faith or our faith is because God shares. That's covenant. Only covenant can tell you my faith or our faith. That's because of covenant. If God didn't make covenant, everything you have to say is God's faith said that. God's faith in me. God, you know, and God doesn't want us robots. See? It's about marriage. It's about covenant. Amen? What an exciting message this is. We never give up on it. Whatever we're going through, whatever is thrown at us, whatever, this is what we received at the beginning and is what will take us through into glory and for the rapture. Amen. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, we just quicken in our spirits. Lord, we just find that faith stirs up within us. We never grow tired of it, even though we've heard principles year on, year out. There's always more to learn, Father. Something that we didn't see that we see now. And so, Lord, I thank you again this morning for our teaching. It is so precious in a land of famine of hearing the word. What a privileged people we are. How blessed we are, Lord. And yet, Lord, how our hearts go out to those, even those that once sat and embraced and listened to all of this, and yet didn't really have a heart for it, Father. But you've still got some out there who will hear this and say, yes, this is what I want. This is what I've been waiting for. And will be part of us. Lord, I thank you for this. So be with us. Bless us. Preserve us, never keep us, Father, for your glory. For this we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.